And in my somewhat biased opinion, that is the singing of one of the greatest choral ensembles in all the world, the Nordic Choir of Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. I say my biased opinion because it was my privilege to be a member of the Nordic Choir for three of my years at Luther, and under the direction of the distinguished Weston Noble, who led the Nordic Choir for over 50 years and retired from that position a couple of years ago, although he has remained active as one of the country's busiest and finest clinicians for various choral events, and then received a call this summer from Carthage College, from the music department chair, Jim Ripley, with an extraordinary invitation, which he accepted. And as many of you, I'm sure, know, Weston Noble is serving as the very special guest conductor this year of the Carthage Choir. And also this coming Sunday evening, we'll be on hand for the third annual Messiah Sing-Along at First United Methodist Church. I feel exceptionally privileged to be speaking to one of the most important mentors that I have had in my life, and to ask him about some of the important moments in his long, distinguished career, not only as a choral conductor, but also as a very fine conductor of bands and orchestras, and a career which has taken him all across the country and indeed all over the world. Weston Noble, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's an honor to be here, especially after that introduction.
Well, I've been thinking about that introduction for a long time, so I'm glad that's finally here. I think it's intriguing to people when somebody as well-known as you, as distinguished as you, as famous as you are, comes out of a teeny, tiny hometown. Why don't you tell our listeners, first of all, where you are from?
I'm from a town called Riceville, Iowa. It's in not quite the northeast part of Iowa, but not quite in the north central either. It's just sort of right in between, in rich farmland, and my grandfather homesteaded there, and the family farm is still in the Noble family. So that's the roots of my heritage.
So you grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
What kind of a farm was it?
Well, at that time it was all-purpose farm, you know, so we had our milked our cows and picked up the eggs from the chickens and just did everything, you know.
We just don't necessarily picture a distinguished musician springing out of that kind of background, and yet here it is. At what point in your life did you start to realize that music was something very important to you?
The very first memory I have was when I was five, and my mother was trying to get me to take a nap, and I just wouldn't settle down. And so she leaned over and she said, "Weston, would you like to take piano lessons?" Well, something inside me just leapt for joy, I guess, because I couldn't think of going to sleep. I was so excited. And I remember everything about my first piano lesson, even though my feet didn't begin to touch the pedals. That's the first time I knew this. There was something special about music to me.
You went on to study, I believe, the clarinet. Mm-hmm. When did that begin?
That began when I was a first-year student in high school.
Oh, so you were... It took a little while for you to find the clarinet.
Yeah, yeah. Being on the farm and going to a one-room country school, you didn't have the accessibility of a band director right in the school, you see.
Now, in your daily life, let's see, before you got to high school... In what way did music play a role? I mean, like, was there an old phonograph in the farmhouse, or were there other ways in which music was part of your daily life?
It would be part of my daily life, only in that I was the one that practiced the piano. And I was quite fascinated by the radio and music on the radio, but that came out more when I was in high school. And I can name the conductors of the New York Philharmonic and the NBC Symphony and the Bell Telephone Hour and the Firestone Hour and all of those things. But that's more in high school than in grade school. In grade school, our music was simply that they would play a recorded record of the piece, and we would learn it by heart and sing it back to the teacher. That was it.
That was it. You have siblings. Were they also at a young age interested in music as you were?
Yes, I have four. Well, four of us are very active and have been active in music. And I was the first one, and then the next one was head of the music department at Kamehameha School in Hawaii, which is the richest private school in the world. Most people don't know that, but it is a very prestigious school for the Hawaiians. Then my two youngest brothers and sisters are twins, and they are both have been both college teachers, choral directors, and pianists.
So this does run in the family.
Yes, it came from my grandfather, Greg. My grandfather was a wonderful tenor, and we had no piano in our church, and I can see him yet. The minister would announce the hymn, and he would lean back against the pew and get his foot going and start leading the singing. And I can hear the pitches that he used to use, and I think he had perfect pitch.
Huh. So he would just, he'd have to choose what note we're starting on to sing these hymns?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So it skipped a generation. You don't really look to your mother and your father as having much in the way of musical gifts.
Oh, yes. My father was a tenor, but he wasn't what my grandfather was. But one day after church, my father was singing tenor with the hymns, and I said, "Dad, how do you know what... You don't read music. How do you know how to what notes to sing?" "Oh, well, I don't know. It just feels okay." You know, that was his answer. So there was talent there.
Now, at what point in high school, as you took up the clarinet, did you start to realize that you really needed to devote yourself to music in the way that led you up eventually, of course, to what you achieved?
At the end of my first year in high school, we were having a band rehearsal, and there was something magical about the piece that we were sight reading, especially the brass, and all of a sudden I got a joy rush up and down my back, and I looked at the clock, and it was 20 minutes after 8, Monday morning, May 5th, and I was just hooked from then on.
Did you know at that point that you wanted to be a conductor? I mean, was that what you were aspiring to?
I'm not sure, but I remember when I was, a junior, I would want everyone in the family to be in bed on Sunday nights because of the farm that we went to bed early. And there was a radio program that came on sponsored by Bear Osborne, and they had a choir. And if everybody was in bed, I'd sneak over into the mirror in front of the, it was in the buffet, and conduct. And I'd go to bed happier than any other night of the week. And I have no idea where beat one was or beat four, but I just I just lived. And I call that a little child that's in each one of us. And when that child gets fed, it just gets so happy.
Mm. Was that Fred Waring on the radio? Do I remember that right?
Oh, that one wasn't, but Fred Waring. I grew up on Fred Waring. Mm. I'd get my cows milked and cattle fed just in record time to get in to hear Fred Waring. And especially on Christmas Eve when they sang Oh Holy Night.
Mm.
Yeah, those are great memories.
Mm.